Good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you from a rainy radio ranch today. Overcast today and cooled off. Got a storm front moving in, and so we're glad to get the cooler weather, dropping about 10 or 15 degrees, and got some rain here in the forecast, and that's all right. It's that time of the year. We're glad to get it. We hope you're having a blessed summer wherever you are. And we hope you're praising the Lord Jesus Christ for the many blessings that he pours out upon us. That's certainly what we're trying to do our best here as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Lord Jesus, we do. We come to you in thankfulness, Lord, in humility, in, Lord, as your humble servants coming before you. But Lord, we do thank you for the many blessings that you give us, Lord. We thank you that, first and foremost, that you, for the joy set before you. Hard to understand that at times, Lord, but for that, that's, your word says you went to the cross. Because you could see beyond it, Lord. You could see beyond the pain and suffering that you had to go through. You could see beyond you being the sacrifice for us, for me, for your people, for the sins that we had committed and that we would commit. And you saw beyond that, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. Thank you for seeing beyond it, Lord. Help us to see beyond the current circumstances. Help us to see, Lord, to have eyes to see and ears to hear, that it would be well with thee, Lord, that we would be blessed, and that, Lord, we would be a blessing to you, that we would sing your praises, we would tell all that we meet and see and know of our friend, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, it would glorify you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone. I pray for your blessings. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and guide and direct me to give me the words and the thoughts to say, Lord, as we read from your word, as we talk about current events, that, Lord, it just is edifying to your people. It helps open their eyes to the truth of your word and the lies of the world. And that's my request, Lord. That's my desire. Open the eyes of your people to that we would all, Lord, return to you in repentance. Lord, I thank you for our pastor that went before, that strived, Lord, that paved the way, that worked, Lord, and that built up this ministry with your help. And built it on the foundation of your Son, Jesus Christ, on that solid rock. Lord, help us to continue to build upon it. Help us to continue to put forth the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And help us to continue to reach the new, Lord, those that are still lost, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you that you provide a way for us to do that. We pray all this to your glory in the name above all names, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And amen. Well, plenty going on out in the world. It just seems like it never ends. The Summer Olympics in Rio are coming up, and the threat of Zika just doesn't seem to be bothering anybody down there. Might talk about that a little bit. I know we're seeing some Zika cases in Florida now, and saw a headline, I think, today or yesterday about dozens of U.S. service members have contracted the disease. Have the disease now, including pregnant soldiers. We'll talk about that later. This Zika first came in down from Rio, and that came up because of the Summer Olympics going on down there, and they've been spraying with DDT and everything else you can imagine. When you look at the pictures, I certainly wouldn't want to go down there. It's absolute filth. But not far from there, over in Venezuela, they're having problems with food. And I don't know, we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but not a whole lot recently. But, these are our neighbors just to the south of us, and they are going hungry. They literally are. This socialist country of Venezuela, when everything was, most of their economy was based on oil. Now, does that sound familiar? Because a lot of our economy based on that oil, natural gas, things like that. So keep in mind, and just think as we talk about this, to that, you know, think, could it happen here? Because I think that's what we need to do. And I think that's one of the things that God does, is that God allows things to happen in this sinful world, because we did fall from grace and we fell, and we live in a world full of sin, and we have a sinful nature. And so, but I think God allows things to happen as a warning to his people. And so when we talk about this tonight, and I'm hoping to bring this in a week or two on Sunday morning in a little review of the news, probably won't get to do it this week, maybe next week. But I want us to think, when we see these things happening basically to our neighbors to the south, that it could happen here. And I think that's what we have to do. That's one of the reasons we have to, you know, be right with God, lead a Christian life, do the things that we are supposed to be doing. It's as simple as that. It really is. And so this, you know, socialist experiment of Venezuela, it's been that way for 25 years. You know, the Hugo Chavez died back in the springtime, and actually, it's been several years ago when he died, and you know, but all through his reign, and when he was a leader, you know, the oil prices were up. Venezuela was exporting oil, and times were good down there. Boy, they were boom times. But you know, right now they have a severe shortage of essential resources, of food, of fertilizer to grow their food, of medicine. When you look at the pictures of the lines and lines of people, sometimes people are in line for hours. I don't mean a couple hours. I'm talking all day, 10, 12 hours to get into a grocery store. And then when they get to the end of the grocery store has toothpaste and toilet paper, and that's it. No food. And that's what they're experiencing there. That's what they're experiencing. And so the new Maduro is the leader. And he's the leader down there, and it just, the prices are going up. Well, one thing, one highlighted part of a news article I saw was that basically just standards, things like flour, pasta, milk. Some staples, food staples down there are just basically, it costs a month's wages to try to go get enough food, just staples for the week. And so, you know, we saw that type of inflation and we saw those types of lines. I remember it in school back in the 70s, because that's what was going on in the Soviet Union. They would stand in line to the socialists, the state-run grocery stores and stores where you could go buy things, food and dry goods and things like that. And you would hear about that, people standing in line for hours and hours, and then there was no bread to buy once they got there. Well, we're seeing that. We're seeing a heavily armed military presence down there in Venezuela. And you may say, so what? Who cares? That's down there, serves them right, those blah, blah, blahs, whatever you want to say. Well, that's not the way to be. I don't think that's the way that we should look at it. Because again, this is happening to our neighbors. Okay? Now, I'm not saying we go down and bail them out, but I think that we should look and see and ask ourselves, why is this happening? And could it happen here? And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. One note I saw, you know, Venezuela exported oil for years and years, okay? And one of the things they did was, as far back as 2005, they were exporting oil and, Jamaica, for instance, was buying oil. Jamaica still has about a $3 million debt that it owes to Venezuela. And so what Venezuela's doing, and I'm glad they are, is they have it set up where they are now letting Jamaica pay off its oil debts in food. And so not cash, but food. And so, you know, that is, I think that's something for us to be reminded of here and to remember here. You know, that gold and silver, the Bible talks about, you know, you need to store up treasures where your gold and silver won't rust away, where moth won't come in and destroy. And food is a part of that. You know, we are to provide for our family. But part of that is staying right with God, because it is God who sends the blessings. And when we see, and I think that's part of what God is doing, I think that he is using this just short of an absolute famine down in Venezuela, a country very rich in natural resources, a country very rich in oil reserves, natural gas. You know, Coca-Cola has a plant down there. Not saying that's right, but it's not like it's some little third world country that nobody's ever heard of. There's millions of people there, and you know, up until the last couple of years, they've experienced a very high standard of living, not unlike ours. Okay, not unlike ours at all. But because this oil, their economy has just tanked, and now they're starving. There's not enough food down there. They have zoos. I saw a report here about 50 zoo animals in the capital of Caracas have starved to death because they don't have food for the animals, they don't have food for people. Now, you know, in our circles, it's like, well, that's just how it goes. But looting, riots, and again, I just say, be aware. Be aware, because it wouldn't take much for that to happen here. Had some quotes. I stand in line waiting. By the time my number's up, by the time I get to the line, there's nothing left. And another quote from a guy says, all I can find in the stores is soap, and I can't eat soap. Here's a quote. I've been looking for food all day long. I found 4 bottles of oil in one place, a bar of soap in another, and laundry detergent in another. Hoping to find some corn flour now. Now, you know, these are people like you'd find in your town. Why is this happening? Why? Well, you know, the government down there is telling them, don't despair, the stores are full. Just go to the store, you know, there's plenty of food in the store. Well, I saw some statistics. I thought I'd share this with you, and then maybe we'll do a song. I saw these statistics earlier, and I remember, not that I was alive way back in the 30s, but I've seen these statistics before, but nobody talks about them very much. Nobody seems to think about them. They're too busy playing Pokemon Go or seeing who Denver's going to have for a quarterback this year, or who the new baseball player is, or, you know, what the basketball team's doing. Something, anything, but seeing what truly is happening here in this country. You know, back in the 1930s, nearly 50% of the American population was rural. Now, granted, there's two-thirds more as many people in the country now as there was then. But in the 1930s, leading up into World War II, up until World War II started, half of the American population was rural. They came from farms. They came from ranches. Farmers made up 21% of the labor force in this country. And those were American farmers. Okay? And back in that day, because so much half of the population was rural, your people had local meat. Now, not everybody grew their own beef or pork or whatever they ate. Not everybody had their own chickens for eggs. Not everybody had their own milk cows. No. But your small communities, people in the small communities, in the rural areas, somebody did. Right here in Laramie, the ranch, the radio ranch here, you know, Pastor was here for about 30 years. Well, the ranch is much older than that. And the people that he was able to get it from, and them and the people before them, there's dairy stalls in one of the barns. There's about 4 head catches because they had dairy cows here. Not a lot, had about half a dozen. I think at one time they got up to about 12 or 16, but, you know, had some dairy cows. The ranch, the next ranch 2 miles down, had dairy cows. The cow camp ranch across the street and about 3 miles down the road had dairy cows. And the several of the ones just here, and I'm only talking, like it says, not even in the 30s, even into the 50s and the 60s they did, because this was still pretty rural. But the people had milk cows, that they milked their own cows. They raised their own beef out here. They had chickens and raised their own eggs. And the milk and the cream from the cows and the eggs, that was their, you've heard the old term, egg money, or milk and cheese money, or milk money. And that's what it was. And, you know, that's the milkmaidens, too, was, boy, the daughters were the ones, the boys were out working, the daughters were the ones milking the cows and making the cheese. And what they would do here in this rural community, you know, is every other day they would take the milk and the cream and the eggs to town, and they would rotate around. They had about six neighbors out here that would take turns, and they would start on the far side, and the person would make a route. He'd swing in, ride down to your ranch, your farm, whatever. You'd give him whatever eggs and milk or cream you had. He'd make the trip to town because it's 12 miles to town. He'd make the trip to town. That's an early start in the morning. He'd probably meet the sun coming up on the way to town after he'd stopped at these ranches. And once in there, then he'd go to the general store. He would have fresh eggs, fresh milk, fresh cream, fresh cheese, maybe a fresh side of beef. Sell that, bring the cash back to the ranches, get that distributed back, and then even the people that lived in town, they were still in a rural town, but they had fresh food to eat, and the food supply was vast. And you know, all through those the 30s and the 40s and back in this time, you know, America was the breadbasket of the nation, the breadbasket of this country, and we fed the world. It's not that way anymore. And you know, Venezuela has exported food and certainly oil, but they've also been a leader in food exports for years and years. And now they don't have enough food to eat to keep their people healthy and satisfied. And so we see a huge change in this nation from being a rural agricultural type of society to where today only about 20% of the population is rural, and the rest of them are, you know, suburban and city folk, you might say, and less than 2% of the U.S. population work in farming and agriculture. You know, I get a farming magazine, not that we farm out here, but it talks a lot about vehicle maintenance, you know, shop and barns and cattle and that type of stuff. It's a farming ranching magazine, and you can sure see it in there. It is a very small minority, a minute minority in the population, the farmers and agriculture people that are involved in that today in this country. And it may be looked down upon by the big wigs on Wall Street, but you know, they can't eat those stocks and bonds. And if the economy here goes down like the economy in Venezuela has gone down, and it's happened dramatically, it hasn't been 10 or 12 years coming, it's been just in the last year to 2 years, and that economy has tanked to where today there are armed guards in the elitist grocery stores in some of the towns where only the certain members, only certain parts of society are allowed to go there with their private security force. And the army of Venezuela is keeping the peasants out. As we've become more of a consumer-based society, a consumer-based system that seems to operate here, it would not take much. It would not take much for us to fall into that same group as our neighbors. Got a song for you, and I'm going to grab me a bottle of water. I didn't bring a bottle of water back to the broadcast booth tonight, so I'm going to do that. Got a song for you that I think you'll like. It's by our brother Chris, and it's called Blame God. Because if you don't like the way things are, that's really who you can think about blaming. You think about that. I'll be back right after this. If you'd like this song, I'd send it to you. I've got it on a CD. Just call and ask.
Wives left you and taken your children, wealth and home. The job you thought you'd retire with, closed up shop or moved abroad. The little wealth you had stashed back disappeared, and you don't know where it went. And the children you loved and nurtured now have turned from truth and live their life in sin. Blame God. He's the one that brought it all to bear. Blame God if the life you thought was yours is now not there. If the nation of your fathers doesn't seem to belong to you, blame God, 'cause he's the one that's going to blame you. Say that cancer and heart disease seems to run rampant in your family, friends, and life. You've grown fat and weak, and it seems that you helplessly struggle through the strife. Replace your knees, replace your hips, replace your dreams with pain and doctor visits. Medication, blood work, doctor bills, it's not the life you planned now, is it? Blame God, he's the one that brought it all to bear. Blame God, if the life you thought was yours is now not there. If the nation of your fathers doesn't seem to belong to you, blame God, 'cause he's the one that's going to blame you. You've ignored his laws, ignored his truth, and thought that you could do it on your own. You've allowed sin and other gods in your heart, your jobs, and your homes. Allowed your politician to break God's laws, but you voted just the same. Or worse, you stood there and shook your head and said, I'm not to blame. You can blame God, 'cause he promised he would give this all to you. You can blame God, 'cause every word of his is right and true. Blame him for the life you got, the misery and strife you're due. Just look in the mirror of your life, 'cause God is judging you. Blame God, he's the one that brought it all to bear. Blame God, if the life you thought was yours is now not there. If the nation of your fathers doesn't seem to belong to you, blame God, his judgment's falling down on you. Blame God, 'cause Jesus now is judging you.
Hope you understand that song. Hope you understand what the conviction that that song is meant to bring because of the sin in the land. Psalms 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting." And that word loving kindness means compassion. His compassion is everlasting. And the last part of Psalms 107:1 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And see, that's one of the things that we don't do anymore. We don't say so. We don't say, thank you, Lord, for you are good. We don't say, Lord, your love, your compassion is everlasting. We don't say that anymore. We should, as a people. You know, Psalms 107:6, this is still a ways off in our Bible reading plan, but Psalms 107:6 and also 107:13 say the same thing. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them, or he saved them out of their distresses. And he still does today. When we say, when we cry out to him. Now, you know, the people down in Venezuela, probably Catholic, who knows what. And so I don't want you to think that the first few minutes that I talked about today, this evening in the program, about what's going on in Venezuela, you know, how God deals with those people, that's between them and God. I don't know. You know, but we have his Bible. We know we can read through the Word, if we'll read his Word, and see how he deals with his people. And we know that we are his people. Because like Chris said in the song, you know, he judges his people. He does. And he blesses them, and when his people do wrong, his wrath is poured out upon them. It's as simple as that. But his compassion, his loving kindness is everlasting, like we see in Psalms 107. But we are, those of us that are redeemed, those of us that have been redeemed, we are to say so. We are to remind the world. We are to sing his praises and tell others that we serve a living God. We don't seem to do that as much anymore. You know, there's just too much going on. Too much going on. This Pokemon Go. You know, what a mess that is. It's just more demonic activity. That's what it is. Whether you want to believe what the media reports that the creator of it says, that yeah, it's anti-Christian. It's voodoo. It's magic. What about it? So what? That's in nature. That's just how they explain it away. They're having strangers walking up to daycares. There was something, I think, just yesterday or today at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial at the wall in Washington. These Pokemon Go players, these, you know, that are just in a fantasy world playing a game, came up and I didn't even see all of it, but came up and apparently there was an altercation there at the wall. Getting reports out of Florida that there's these parks, they're calling them zombie parks, because they just have these slow-moving, fixated crowds of players. And the only thing they're not doing is got an arm up, because they've got both their hands on their stupid phone or whatever video game they're playing. Oh, Lord. Wake your people up. Wake your people up, Lord. Our people today, they just do not, they are in this spell, they are blinded. They do not see what is going on around them. They do not see that they are being destroyed. And they absolutely are. They just absolutely are. We've read Psalms. Let's read that a little. You know, we're in our Bible reading plan, and we're today Psalm 66 and 67. And you know, one thing there, like it talks about this. We heard on the song, God is judging you. You heard Chris say that in the song. And, you know, there's times that he is. Now, he is not just a judging God. No, he is full of compassion. And you know, his word says that he doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to, not wealth and riches, but to come to repentance. And, you know, in again, we're pushing, we're promoting you to read your Bible. We encourage you to. Today, Psalm 66 and 67. And I'd like to read just a couple verses here. You know, we said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so in Psalms 107:1. In Psalm 66:1, it says, shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. We're to do that individually, folks. We are to shout joyfully to God. We are. Do we do that? That's part of what we're to do as Christians. Verse 18 says, if I regard wickedness in my heart. Now, this is part of that judging. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And so I ask you, remnant, do you have times that your prayers are just not answered? Oh, you pray, and they just aren't answered. It's as simple as that. Well, if you regard wickedness in your heart, the Lord will not hear. That's what the Bible says. That hasn't been done away with. It doesn't change Psalms 107:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness or compassion is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. See, he wants us to say that. He wants us to praise him. Psalms 111 verse 1 says, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. That's what we are to do. That's part of what we are to do. It doesn't mean we stand on the street corner and say, praise the Lord. We can do that. But we need to make sure we're not ashamed of him. We need to make sure that we as the world and as this American society turns away from Jesus Christ. Yeah, the good old USA. America. America. Isn't that how they say it down south? America. America. I'm American. Proud to be American. As this America turns away from Jesus Christ, choose you this day. Who are you going to be with? I love this country. Born and raised here. My brother served in the military. I love this country. I hate what it's doing. I hate how the people are turning from God and letting these, whether it's freedom from religion or any of these antichrists that have come in, being them, any that deny it, that just think they're running things. We cannot have wickedness in our heart. The Lord does not hear. You know, we have to guard our hearts. And I don't mean to be jumping around here. I've just got a head full of thoughts. But if we have sin in our lives, if we have wickedness in our heart, is how Psalm puts it, the Lord will not hear. But you know, the Lord, his loving kindness and compassion is everlasting. And so if we do have that, we can repent. And when we repent and return to him, then we do praise him. When we do, you know, part of that repentance is changing from pleasing ourselves to doing what is pleasing to God. His word tells us what's pleasing to him. Saying that he is good. Saying that his loving kindness and compassion is everlasting. Saying, giving thanks to him with all our heart. Those are things that are pleasing to him. When we do those things, you know, when Psalms 111, I got a couple more verses here, I'll read here. Verse 2, great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in him. You know, I delight in the Lord. I delight in him. I thank him that he gave me my wife of 30 plus years. I delight in him and I thank him that he's given us healthy children, healthy grandchildren. I delight and thank him that he made my great paying uppity job at UPS end over 15 years ago and brought me out here to the radio ranch to work for a great man named Pastor Peter J. Peters. I delight in that. I do. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in Him. You know, those that delight in Him study His word, study His works, what He did, what He does today. Splendid and majestic is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. Yes, it does. He has made His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Sounds like Psalms 107:1. His loving kindness is everlasting. These should be words of encouragement. They're words of encouragement to me. I need them. I need to read the Psalms, to learn, to study how the things David went through and why he wrote these Psalms. You know, it's not just these words that we have, but you know, the thoughts of David and the circumstances he was in when he wrote them. And those circumstances, because it's a living word, they're for us today. Psalms 111 goes on and says, He has given food to those who fear Him. And you know, this nation used to have more food than it knew what to do with. Venezuela used to have more food than it knew what to do with, and it doesn't anymore. This nation, who once was a God-fearing nation, used to have food in abundance, oil in abundance, natural gas, resources. We didn't import anything. We exported all that stuff. We don't need to import any of it today. We grow plenty of it right here, whether it's food, beef, oil, gas, coal. We've got all we need. But because we have fallen from grace, you might say, because we allow every Tom, Dick, and Harry to come in and marry and do whatever they want to do, adopt children, because we allow them to come in and do all that, well, guess what? We're not as blessed as we once were. Psalms 111 verse 7 tells us, the works of His hands are truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. Remember how it read earlier, great are the works of the Lord, they're studied by all who delight in them. The works of His hands are truth and justice. The truth of His word. The truth that says that if you deny the Christ, and the people that deny that Jesus is the Christ, they are the Antichrist. So the Muslims that deny that Jesus is the Christ, they are part of the Antichrist. The Jews who deny that Jesus is the Christ, they are part of the Antichrist. That is truth. The works of His hands are truth. It is as simple as that. His word says, unless you're born again, Jesus Christ said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And who was it, Zacchaeus? Said, Lord, how can a man enter into his mother's womb again? He said, no, you must be born again. You have to die to the old self. That is the truth. That is the works of God's hands. It is truth. And it's justice. There is no justice in the land today. There's no liberty in the land today because the Spirit of the Lord is not there. Because His people, the redeemed of the Lord, don't say so. Because they don't praise Him. A little bit later in Psalms 111, I think it's verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. So you want to have understanding in the Word? Do what He says do. Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Forgive. You know, that's kind of the basis for this whole program that I'm privileged to do on Thursday night, and I think we replayed a couple times on Friday. But, you know, the title's called 7 times 70, and it comes from Matthew. In Matthew, the parable, you know, of the man that was forgiven much, but yet he would not go and forgive little. I encourage you to read it. You look it up and find it. I could tell you where it is. You look it up and find it. The works of the Lord, truth and justice are to be studied by all who delight in them. That's what we are to do. We are to study His Word. We're to read into it. If you don't even read His Word, how are you going to learn it? And if you don't obey His Word, you're not going to understand it. It's as simple as that. His Word is understood by those who do His commandments. And that's what we are to be doing. We are to be doing His commandments. We are to be doers of the Word. You know, back to some current events. I hate even to mention them because it ain't good news. You know, the time, I was talking with our brother Paul today from the church, and you know, the time of harvest sure draws near because the tares are standing up straight and tall and haughty and proud, you know, from Target just inviting perversion into their store with these transgender bathrooms. They just want to be recognized with other tares. To the Pope, Pope Francis defends Muslims and he blasts Islam is not terrorism. Oh yeah, when Islam puts out behead those who insult Islam and butcher those who mock Islam and Europe, you will convert or die. That's exactly what they are. And the time of harvest draws near. And then that Zika, we talked about that at the beginning of the program, the Zika virus. You know, we reported back on some scriptural review of the news and here on the radio. Back in the springtime of the year when, you know, winter was wrapping up here, well, down in South America in Rio, summer was wrapping up. And they were having thousands of cases. Thousands of people have had the Zika virus. And you know, it causes the microcephaly. It causes birth defects in children. And they were having just literally thousands, hundreds and thousands of these children being born down there with this Zika virus, this microcephaly, I guess is the pronunciation, caused by the Zika virus. And, you know, back in April, oh, no, we're not expecting it to move into the northern hemisphere. Well, guess what? It did. And then we were told back in the spring, oh, no, it's not a sexually transmitted disease. Guess what? It is, and it's being sexually transmitted. 24 cases as of, I think, Monday this week in Florida alone. 9 down in Miami-Dade, and boy, they are spraying like crazy. They are, here it goes, mosquito control teams have become larvicides and adulticide aerial spraying every 7 days for the next 4 weeks. And they are spraying everything they can down there to try to get rid of these mosquitoes that carry the Zika virus. Well, you know, our pastor used to talk about that God had not played the plague card yet. And the term there, I think, is yet. Talked to a couple different people down in Florida, some Christian brothers, and they said, yeah, they're seeing on the news that other countries are advertising, telling their people not to come vacation in Florida, because Florida is an international vacation spot anymore. Don't go vacation in Florida. You might get Zika. It's like, well, that's not such a bad thing if some of the foreigners stay home. But you know, that economy, we talked about tonight about how that economy down in Venezuela has tanked. Because all of a sudden the oil prices have dropped and they're not making money on their natural resources anymore. Well, you know, in Florida, tourism is a natural resource. That's about how they look at it. And so what do you think the economy of Florida is going to do if there's all of a sudden hundreds or thousands of these visitors, these tourists that aren't coming and spending their money? We haven't seen the plague card be played yet, but I want to read to you from Habakkuk chapter 3, just the first few verses. And let's read it. And it starts out, it says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigayanoth. And the Shigayanoth is, I looked that up because I didn't know what that meant. I can't even pronounce it. But it is it, and it's like the Selah that you see in the which means to pause and reflect and think about what you've said. You see that a lot in the Psalms. Well, the Shigayonoth is a highly emotional poetic form. And so this here in Habakkuk is not just a monotonous reading of it. Okay? Lord, I have heard the report of what is going about you, and I fear, O Lord. That's not how it's meant to be put out. And I certainly can't, but let me at least read it with a little bit of feeling. Okay? And see if it means anything to you. Habakkuk 3, starting in verse 1. Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Selah. Think about that. Think about this is our God that comes from where he comes from. We have heard about him. We fear him because he is mighty. And we ask him, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Make your work known. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered, the ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. And we see there in Habakkuk that it is God, when he goes out, before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. And you can read more about that in Revelations if you want to turn there, and not going to do it tonight, but you can read more about that. That plague, those vials that are poured out. I'm not prophesying that that's what this Zika virus is, but it's growing. The people have here, it seems like the CDC and the others, they tell you, oh, don't worry about it. You know, don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, as we see in The Wizard of Oz. And we've been told not to worry about it. It's no big deal. But you know what? Our soldiers are catching it that are overseas. Our people that live in this country are getting it. We've reported to you that they've had cases in Connecticut and all over, not just down in Florida, but Connecticut, in I think New Hampshire, in New York. You better have a rock and a refuge that you can go to. Well, geez, about out of time tonight. Didn't get a chance to open up the phone lines. My apologies for that, folks. We encourage you to read your Bible. Be reading your Bible, okay? We have to be doing that. That is where our rock is in his Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. See, that's our rock. That's our refuge. It's our comfort. Just we'll wrap up tonight. I want to read a little bit out of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 12, just maybe the first three verses. Because I think that it's for today. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you live in the midst of the rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but do not see, ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. And I pause there. We'll read verse 3 here in just a minute. But you know, tell me we do not live in a rebellious land, in a rebellious house today, in a rebellious time. A people that have been blessed more than any other people, than in the history of the world. And yet they thumb their nose at God. They like the Democratic National Committee, they vote him out of their assembly. The audacity, the gall that they have. And so I say this, remnant, you live in the midst of a rebellious house. who have eyes to see but do not see, ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Now, there's some of us that have turned from that rebellion, and that's the remnant. We have turned, we have repented, we have changed our thoughts, changed our actions, changed who we fear. We don't fear man, we fear God. We revere God, we love God, we obey God. But those that haven't are a rebellious house. In verse 3 of Ezekiel 12, verse 3, therefore, son of man, and I say therefore, remnant, I think it applies for today, prepare for yourself baggage for exile, and go into exile by day in their sight, even go into exile from your place to another place in their sight. Perhaps they will understand, though they are a rebellious house. And I think what comes to mind about that exile, no, we're not to all move to Canada. There ain't no more running. There ain't no more moving to do. Because this is going to be a different kind of exile that's coming upon it. It truly is a choice. Choose you this day who you going to serve. The lines, they're being drawn. They truly are. Who are you going to serve? If God, if Jesus Christ is God, then serve Him. If Baal or Allah or Ishti or Buddha or whoever else you want to serve, if that's who you think is God, will you just go ahead and serve them? And may the best God win. And I think the summary here of this in Ezekiel is to, you need to prepare for what's coming. It may be plague like Zika that causes birth defects and death. It may be no food in the like we see in the grocery stores just south of us. Who knows? But you need to prepare. You need to be right and ready. Whew, that's all the time we had tonight. Well, thanks for joining us, folks. Sorry again we didn't get the phone lines opened up. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America. P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado. LaPorte, L-A-P-O-R-T-E, Colorado, 80535. And our website, visit our website, scripturesforamerica.org. And if you want to send an email into here, hey, if you want that song from Chris, I'll send it to you. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. We'll be right back.